Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's bring him on now. Bill Connelly, our great friend, ESPN writer, the man behind SP Plus.
SEC Honk is what he is.
SEC Honk. Bill Connelly, that's what they call him on the streets, at ESPN underscore Bill C. There's rumors he's going to add an SEC in there.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see on that front. Bill, good morning to you. Did you ever think you'd live long enough to become just a diehard SEC ESPN shill?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number of negative things I've said about Greg Sankey through the years, you like to think that that kind of gives you some clout, but every new thing you write is a new opportunity to be seen as the villain, I guess.
Did you think when you wrote the piece, because it's incredibly detailed,
yes,
and I enjoyed it, did you think when you wrote it and published it that the reaction that you would get from a vast majority of college football fans?
Well, I think, you know, it's my own fault for putting it on social media. If I just, avoided that part, it would have been fine. I would have just lived in my little bubble. But yeah, once you put it out into social media and you express an opinion, this is a time when that's not allowed to stand.
Right.
There will be pushback.
So let's get into it, Bill. So you put out a piece, and I love the like 2014 college football playoff is the AI of college football. We didn't ask for it. We're told it's inevitable despite huge unknowns.
Very well put, by the way.
Very well put, because it does seem like this is a train that's barreling down the tracks, and nobody can get out of the way. It's coming. And to your point, like online right now, and we do have this in a lot of regards in life, of like this is either the thing that is desperately needed in college football, according to some, and if you don't think so, you're an idiot or a show for a conference, or it's the worst thing imaginable. Like, it just, there doesn't seem to be a lot of middle ground. So as you dove into this, what did you find, and what are the concerns, and why do you make the comparison to AI and what we're dealing with in real life right now?
Well, I mean, it's funny, for whatever reason, you know, for years we went by, as soon as 12 came out, as soon as we got a 12-team playoff, it was easy to assume that 16 was on the horizon, even though 12 has turned out to be a great number, even better than I really anticipated, and we didn't even see the best version of it back when, you know, we had a Pac-12 and a full five power, Pac-12, that was a power conference, I guess I have to clarify, but, you know, when we had five power conferences, the whole six conference champion, six at large thing, that would have been even better than what we currently have, but it's still really good. It's a good cutoff. It flows nicely from the first round of the quarters and all that. So I've been really happy with it. I have still just been under the assumption that we're moving to 16 for a while, but every single time it looks like consensus is growing in that regard, we throw in some weird things like auto bids and, you know, Big Ten's going to get four. We're just going to turn the whole thing into an invitational kind of deal, and all those extra ideas have been terrible, and now we've moved on to the next big idea, which is 24 with no auto bids, I guess one spot reserved for the G5 or G6, and by the way, the number two team in the G6 is going to be 25th every single year from this point forward if we get this system, but that's, you know, this is, and now we've moved on to this, and it's pretty mind-blowing, and it is, as many negative things as I've said about Greg Sankey, as many negative things as I said in that piece talking about financial inequality and everything else, he's kind of the one, he's the one person kind of standing up to this right now, and hopefully he keeps doing so.
Well, we know Jim Phillips is all in, Notre Dame's AD is all in, we know Yormak is all in, because, you know, these are going to benefit their conferences as well, but it feels like it's boiling down to Petitti versus Sankey. And I said this a couple shows ago, and I don't know if you agree with this, or maybe I'm just not viewing it through the right lens. There's, in a weird way, like that dude, it felt like anytime he talked, that was the gospel. The sport was basically being run because they had the 14 years in a row of winning the title, and they were largely always the favorites going into every season. And they still are looked at that way. But because you've had three straight title winners be from Petitti's conference, in a weird way, it feels like it's the old guard hanging on, fighting the new wave in a weird way. And I don't know if I'm misinterpreting that, but do you view this as like a Petitti versus Sankey, a power of the wills, and where would you lean of who's going to win this one ultimately?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's certainly, been a lot of that. And I don't know if that's been driven by the Big Ten winning titles or whether it's just Fox basically saying we want to have a bigger stake in the playoffs, so we need to grow the playoff or whatever it is, wherever that started. It's clear that, you know, a few years ago when Petitti was new, it was basically Sankey and Petitti having kind of a unified front where Sankey got to do all the talking. And now Petitti has kind of pushed himself out there a little bit and created a bunch of mostly terrible ideas. I got to say, I've hated basically all the ideas he's come up with, even though I'm not, again, I'm not predestined to gravitate towards whatever Sankey says. I usually push back on Sankey the most, but I hated the auto bids idea. I guess the speed that this has taken on over the last few months has been the worst part to me, because playoffs never get smaller. This is how I ended the piece. Like, we never shrink playoffs in any sport, at any level, in any way. And if we're cut, like, if once we go to 24, it's always going to be 24. And we haven't even figured out how to pull off a 4-round playoff yet that doesn't end before Inauguration Day. And we're talking about ditching conference title games, which have been kind of like one of the main gravitational forces for the last 30 years. And we're doing that in part just to pay for a bigger, like, that's why we need a bigger playoff, because we're paying for getting rid of these other games. And it just seems like there are a lot of things we need to solve before we go to a 5th round. So even if 24 is inevitable, like, just, if you're going to expand, just go to 16, figure out the schedule, figure out what to do with conference titles. Cause I got to say, I mean, you want to kill some of the drama of just kind of the home stretch of the season, you know, not having those title stakes. I realize playoff is the biggest thing in the world, but not having those title stakes and ended up with like 4-way ties in conferences or whatever takes away one of the sources of drama for most conferences. And that feels like a huge thing to me that we're just kind of glossing over in the name of a 5th round for a playoff.
Now, I want to say from the you know, the start of this, I'm more pro 16, and I just think 24 is going to happen. So I'm sitting as a sports fan who thinks it's inevitable, and we've been driving towards conference elimination or conference title games being eliminated, it feels like, for a couple seasons. My counter to you on that, because I think that's a very valid point. Lanning basically talked about this at the media, spring media days, of like, it's not going to kill the end of the regular season, at least for guys like him, because he's going to want the 1 seed. He's going to want the 2 seed, because when you get to 24, you're going to get an easier path than even you have in the 12. And the 12 has been incredibly difficult for the bye teams. The second thing I'd say is does it feel like outside of, I know Indiana did it, but you have a little bit of evidence too here where you play those conference title games and other teams get a break. And I don't know if it like really benefits, like, do fans really feel like there's a benefit to winning a conference championship and playing that extra game? Do Duck fans feel great? Like, that was a great season to go undefeated and win the Big Ten. And then they got absolutely pummeled by Ohio State, who didn't finish the season good. So I think I agree with your take, but I can see the other side of the argument of, are we benefited from it, basically?
Well, yeah, and I think basically, and the point I tried to make in there was that we don't hate conference championships. The conference championship itself isn't a drawback. It's the 13th game that's the drawback.
Yes.
You know, Carson Beck getting hurt in the SEC championship 2 years ago, Gunnar Stockton having to start in the playoff. That is absolutely unfair. And the CFP committee obviously has no idea how to handle teams that lose in conference title games. Bama got destroyed and still got in. And so, to me, the issue isn't getting rid of title games. It's getting rid of the 13th game and making the title game the 12th game. And I think there are ways to do that. The Big Ten in 2020, just so I can point out that the Big Ten has had good ideas. Big Ten in 2020, when they came up with their idea of kind of that final flex week where the two division champions play, but then number two plays number two and three plays three, and you have a full week of games. I think that kind of shined a light on how this could work. The Pac-12's flex week idea for this coming season shines a light on how things could work. But it seems like, if you know, it's not a punishment to play for a conference title. And I think outside of like Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and a few other fan bases, winning the conference title is a huge deal. Like, obviously Indiana going on to win the national title is even bigger, but beating Ohio State in Indy was a humongous deal for them.
Yes.
Back when they didn't really know if they were going to win the national title or not. So I would say it's still a really big deal. I just think we can get a little creative here, pair everybody off for the last week of conference play, and get to the playoff with everybody having played 12 games, but actually also having still had a conference title race.
Yeah, I think that's a great...
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
point. We're talking with Bill Connolly, ESPN college football writer, SP Plus, at ESPN underscore Bill C on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there where he is posted. And be nice in the comments, okay? Everybody's free to have whatever opinion they have, no matter what yours is, his thoughts on the 2014 college football playoff. Like, I don't really know where I land on this yet, Bill. I certainly understand both sides of the argument here. I'm terrified of what it does to, like, as an Oregon alum, I'm worried what it does to me as a fan in the regular season. Not that I'm just going to, oh, willy-nilly, yeah, they lost a game, who cares? But, like, the stretch run this year is a great example for Oregon, where they lose that game to Indiana, then they had that closing stretch of Iowa, USC, and Washington, and there was a thought of, like, man, if they lose one of these games, 10-2, we would have thought would have been an easy, like, oh, they're guaranteed in the playoff, and then Penn State cratered, yeah, so it's like, what's their big win? So it's like, there was a lot riding on every single week, and in a 2014 field, that's just not the case. Not that I'm okay losing games.
Yeah.
I've also heard the argument, I'm curious your thoughts on this. So I've seen people make the argument that back in the day in college football, as I sound like a fuddy-duddy, like for a lot of programs, 8-4 and 9-3 used to be, for some, a really good year. Like you go 9-3, yeah, you get to a Outback Bowl or a Holiday Bowl or whatever it might be, and it's like everybody goes and plays in the game. A lot of fans travel to the game, and it's a send-off and a great way to end your season in a celebratory fashion because we didn't have this playoff or bust mentality. And now, like I'll use Virginia as an example. Virginia was in the ACC title game, I believe, right? I think they were in first place in the ACC.
Lost to Duke.
Right, yeah, they lose, yeah, to Duke. I can't even tell you what bowl game they – I have no idea what bowl game they played in and who played in the bowl game, and mm-hmm, I can't tell you at all. And it, had they been in a 2014 playoff, it's more of a fulfilling back end. So I'm just curious what your argument is to that of – it's certainly not going to benefit the biggest of the big in the sport, but does it benefit the others who used to have that pathway or an off-ramp to say, that was a good year, 8-4, let's go to the Outback Bowl, to now it's, hey, we went 8-4 and we made the college football playoff?
Well, as a Missouri guy, I can tell you that Virginia beat Missouri in a bowl.
There you go.
Don't ask me. Don't ask me what it was called. I watched the game. I don't remember which bowl, yeah, it was. It really is. I mean, that's kind of the bowl situation right now.
Yeah.
It is. I absolutely see that point. And even, you know, when I was, anytime I find myself pushing against what might be seen by somebody as progress, or you know, siding with Greg Sankey, I step back. And I kind of test myself a little bit. Like, am I just being, you know, the old man yelling at cloud here, or am I actually,
sure,
or do I feel like I still have a point? And so I went back through last year's rivalry week, you know, which would have been the playoff decider week. And absolutely, Virginia Tech would have been massive. That would have had added value for Virginia. They would have, they would have clinched the ACC title.
Right.
They would have been one of only three solo champions last year. We would have seen a fun field rush, assuming they didn't clam up against Virginia Tech like they proceeded to clam up against Duke the next week,
right,
in the ACC title game. They would have won that game and rushed the field, and it would have been a great environment for them. Arizona would have beaten Arizona State and basically taken Arizona State's playoff bid. So that would have been fun. And so you enhance two games, but then Michigan loses by 18 to Ohio State and still gets in easily.
Right.
Alabama isn't in a win and you're in game against Auburn. They blow a big lead. They win. Fine. They're more likely to get a play. They might get a bye and they get a home game in the playoff anyway. Oklahoma doesn't have to beat LSU to clinch a spot. Vanderbilt and Texas are in, and there are really no stakes there whether they win or lose against Tennessee and Texas A&M.
Sure.
So we're basically enhancing two or three games and kind of devaluing five or six, and it just feels like that's, you know, all the things the critics said 10 years ago about a playoff will ruin this, it'll destroy the integrity of the regular season, all these things, they weren't right, and I said they weren't right. Starts to feel like they start to become right. You know, at some point there's a line there where the value we're adding for some takes away more value for other games, and sure, it's tricky. I know that the playoff has absolutely created that kind of mentality of that's all that matters, and so we're just kind of skipping forward to the end, I guess, with a 24-teamer.
Yeah.
But it does, the excess value of a given regular season, I think, gets diminished by 24 in a way that it didn't even come close to being diminished with 12.
By the way, that's the Tax Slayer Gator Ball, Virginia, Missouri,
oh,
Bill. Come on now. And if we get the pop tart,
where Missouri walk-on quarterback almost completed a touchdown pass to a walk-on receiver on the final play of the game to win. Yeah,
I mean, look, if the Pop Tart Bowl becomes a playoff game, I'm not upset by that development. I love that Pop Tart Bowl. Final one on this topic for me, because I really enjoyed the piece. I think it's very well thought out. You go through all the scenarios and different kind of narrative based things. Also, we know why coaches are pro it. They all want to protect their jobs and never get fired. Like, I've been 9-3 every year. I'm making the playoffs.
5 years in a row in the playoffs, you can't fire me.
Come on now. What are we doing here? So you, it sounds like what you said earlier, now, from the Oregon State, Pac-12, Group of Six point of view here, it sounds like you think that if they go to 24, they have less opportunity, to which I just watched two Group of Six schools make the 12 team. So it, I think for other schools like Oregon State and Boise State and all them, it feels like there might be more opportunity to have a couple more schools in this dance. You think that would not be the case if they expanded 24?
I don't have even 1% faith in the College Football Playoff Committee to make that happen. I think, you know, in the scenario that I was painting, I kind of laid out what the first, how a 24 teamer would have worked last year, and North Texas would have been number 24 after rivalry week. I can pretty much guarantee that that's Tennessee and not North Texas. Just because the committee has, I have zero faith in the committee. So if we want to go to a formula, where these things are kind of decided on a more objective fashion, then I think that becomes a point in the favor of mid-majors in general. And honestly, I'm pretty easy. Like, if you give me every conference champion in the field, expand it to 28 if you have to do this, put every conference champion in the field and actually give some money to conferences that aren't the ACC or the Big Ten and SEC in terms of all this new money that the playoff has created. They hoard all of it.
Right.
So if we actually distribute it to everybody and let every conference champion in the field, suddenly I am the biggest expanded playoff proponent in existence, because that feels like a fair trade to me. But not stipulating that mid-major champions are going to get bids, I think it can be too easily manipulated in ways we've seen before. They've been manipulated out of higher rankings before, and I just don't have any faith that that would change here.
Yeah. Other than being on the take from Greg Sankey, how's your offseason going? You having a good offseason?
Oh, very soccer heavy, very soccer heavy. Going to, another U.S. friendly here shortly, so I'm going to be out of the football world for a little while with the World Cup. That doesn't seem like a terrible place to be right now. So, although it's one terrible world for another, I guess.
Yeah,
I'll say if you can afford to be in that world.
Are you going to World Cup games, Bill?
I don't have my schedule yet, but yes. Okay. I don't know if it's 2 or 4 or 28 or whatever, but I will be at World Cup games at some point. On approval on that.
Random bone to throw at you then. We'll get you out on this one. From football to football, your shocking development news that Pep is leaving Man City after all of these years.
Well, it was the worst kept secret in the world over the last year. But yeah, it is. He was an era definer in a way that very few coaches in any sport can be. Like, the style he kind of implemented at Barcelona became the default rich team style for the next 20 years, basically, or almost 20 years. And so his impact is pretty wild. And he might go out as a Premier League champion if Arsenal blinks here at the end.
There you go. Great stuff. From football to football, one of our favorites, Bill Connolly, ESPN college football writer, SP+, at ESPN_. Bill C on Twitter. Go give him a follow, and his latest piece on the 2014 playoff is worth the read. No matter your opinion, you can find it on his Twitter account and at ESPN.com. Thanks for the time, Bill. I'm sure we'll catch up again at some point this offseason. Enjoy all the football in the meantime, and thanks as always for hopping on the show.
Absolutely. Take care.
There you go. Bill Connolly of ESPN. A lot of people in the comments not happy with old Bill Connolly because this has become it's a very divisive topic.
Well, Lanning talked about it. I thought Lanning, and look, I think we've made this opinion or given this opinion. All right. Lanning kind of echoed something we've said.
Yeah. So we'll tell you what Lanning had to say, because they're at the Big Ten Spring Media Days. He shared his sentiment. Ryan Day shared his sentiment. Now they're doing that because they're following the marching orders of their commissioner, who certainly wants this, or because they actually want it. That's a question for another day. But what did a couple of Big Ten coaches have to say about this? Also, one coach backing, or doubling down, I should say. The window is open. The time is now. Next on The Fam.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.